From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
America faces a choice. This is Battleground America. Here's Tara Servatius.
New York City Mayor Zoran Mamdani is looking to remove property owners and transfer ownership to tenants and nonprofits. Whoa.
Through our new citywide campaign, Fix the City, we will focus on the worst landlords in New York City. When necessary, we will take aggressive legal action to remove negligent owners and property managers. And for buildings that have suffered chronic neglect, we will work to transfer ownership to responsible stewards. Stewards that include community land trusts, nonprofits, or even the tenants themselves.
What this is, you heard him repeat nonprofits with a big smile on his face. This is a plan for Democrat-run nonprofits to loot both the Treasury of New York City and to steal some of the most valuable real estate on the planet for themselves. Now, folks, this has always been the strategy. In New York City, prior mayors just simply refused to carry out the last step toward the true communism. And here's how it goes. Rent control, which they have in New York, means insufficient revenue for landlords to properly maintain the building. Then the building declines, the condition declines due to the deferred maintenance, and that leads to the city condemning the property. Even though city policy that, you know, starved the landlords of the needed funds in the first place. And by the way, Mamdani is promising even more rent freezes as part of this program. Well, condemnation is obviously followed by city-financed renovation. In other words, they loot the treasury of the city of New York to fix the property. And then guess what? They give it to Democrat NGOs as city-owned housing. So the goal is, and if you read the plan, to create 200,000 units in this manner. In other words, just take them. Mamdani also plans to build some as well. And here's the utter beauty of it. You can loot the treasury of the city of New York to increase the value of the property before you transfer to the NGO. Or maybe you have it stays city owned and they lease it. That way they don't have to pay property taxes. And then they just reap the profits that the landlord would have reaped were it not rent controlled. Now you're thinking, well, how will they make any money if it's rent controlled? He'll do one of two things. He'll either end the rent control or the city will subsidize the rent. In other words, transfer it from the coffers of the treasury to the renter and then via the renter to the Democrat NGO. And the beauty of it, folks, eminent domain is hard for cities to do. It involves long legal fights. It's very labor intensive. These are all takings without eminent domain. They can just use condemnation. Fox News' Todd Pyro nailed what this is really about in 16 seconds yesterday.
All these nonprofits start getting a lot of New York real estate. And what does that do? That fills their coffers so that they can, wait for it, promote and pay for the candidacy of a lot of Democrat socialists, not just in New York, not just in the tri-state, but throughout the country.
Yes, and if history going all the way back to the Soviet Union is any indicator, because this is exactly what the communists did, it will enrich the members of the party and pay for Democrat street activists. Those who are actual students of communism, like me, know exactly how this works because I've seen it before, or rather I've read about it. If you want to know how this goes, read the book We the Living by Ayn Rand, one of my favorite books. Because she says it's the closest to an autobiography she'll ever write. She actually lived through the communist revolution in Russia. And she talks about her dad was upper middle class, how they took all the homes. And hers was a little nicer than average. So after it was taken by the communists, as all property was, it was given to a high-ranking member of the party. And what it was, her dad's property was a pharmacy, and then their house, the pharmacy, was given to the high-ranking Communist Party member. And the house, folks, they were left living in one bedroom as other people were moved into their home. And some of those people were really scary. So they had the whole family living in one bedroom, had to lock the door in the house that had previously been theirs. That's communism. That's how it goes. But this is the early stages of it, where members of the party take the best properties for themselves. In this case, they're just going to add an extra step, the NGOs. One of the most vivid descriptions in We the Living, and it was the one that made me really get what this is truly about, and this actually happened. She talked about it was in the town she lived in Russia. There was that high-end steak joint. You know the one. We have them here, right? The one that, you know, me and my husband will go to once a year as a big treat. And she said she and her family had gone there once or twice a year. Very normal middle class existence, right? Well, that joint was almost immediately taken over by the party, and only high-ranking party members could go there. And she described something else. She said, you know, there were wealthy people in her community, and people recognized the cars they drove, the Rolls Royces, the Bentleys, things like that. And she said party members would pull up to the steakhouse night after night after night in those cars. They had taken them for themselves. That's communism, folks. It's a theft mechanism. And folks, We the Living is the book, I like to say, radicalized me, where I truly, truly got it. It should be absolute mandatory reading for every child to graduate in this country, so you can really understand what it was like. It was really interesting, too, in the book, seeing how these supposed lower class people who had fought for the Marxists in these, you know, very violent clashes, who ended up much poorer than they'd been before because the party just took everything for themselves. And that's what socialism and communism really is. It's just a theft vehicle for the party. And you're seeing that this is a perfect example of that.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on motherhood, wellness, self-love, and more. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
So I'm going to tell you what's going to happen next here. The pack of lies that Mamdani is telling right now is that they're going to go after these slumlords. They're bad people. But who are they really going to go after? Middle class. How do I know that? Number one, common sense. They can't afford the lawyers, the teams of lawyers these big corporate conglomerates can, to tie this up for years. But I also know it because socialist tenant advocate for Mamdani, she's running this whole operation, Sia Weaver, told me so. She's a member of the Democrat Socialist of America and was a policy advisor to Mamdani during his campaign. She actually laid this out in a series of tweets. In them, she described homeownership as racist, quote unquote. Homeownership is racist, she says. The solution? Impoverish the white middle class. Take their property. Now, New York is unique because, believe it or not, quite a few tenement property owners are middle class. These are families that have had this property in their families for decades. This is exactly who the Democrats will go straight for, just as she said, because they have the least defenses and they're most easily silenced. What's going to be ironic is that you're going to find a surprising number of them are Black. Cheryl Cassoni on Fox Business nailed this.
It's a one-sided pro-tenant plan that does absolutely nothing for thousands of distressed, small rent-stabilized property owners who next month are going to get saddled with a Mamdani-engineered rent freeze from the Rent Guidelines Board. A lot of these small property owners, these are small family owners. These are generational wealth that we've seen built in the city, Todd. A lot of these buildings, as you know, you can't freeze the rent, so they don't have any income coming in to fix the building.
Right, which is why Mamdani is instituting targeted rent freezes. Basically, what they're doing is setting you up for condemnation and theft of your property.
He's saying the quiet part. He's admitting that they want to see it's not about the individual, guys. It's about the collective. And that is socialism. And that is what he is talking about.
Sia Weaver, the tenant advocate for Mamdani, who will be implementing all this. You're going to love this chick. You may remember her. She went viral back in 2025 for describing how it's really important to take homeownership away from the white middle class. And if they're landlords, occasionally even people of color.
I think the reality is that for centuries, we've really treated property as an individualized good and not a collective good. And we are going to transitioning to treating it as a collective good and towards a model of shared equity will require that we think about it differently. And it will mean that families, especially white families, but some POC families who are homeowners as well, are going to have a different relationship to property than the one that we currently have.
Folks, if they get away with this, this is going to become wildly popular in Democrat areas. It's also the simplest, most easy to execute route to get quickly to communism and to turn Democrat areas Marxist with real communist philosophies. But listen to what's driving Sia Weaver. She said people like homeownership because they like control. That's rooted in a racist and classist society, and they've got to break that.
You know, people like homeownership because they like control, and that's been perverted by like deep racism and deep classism in our society. So like we have to not have a racist and classist society. And so that's like something we need to think about like deeply. To me, it's about control. And why rent control is really important is because rent control alters the power dynamic between renters and who owns the building.
So just to recap, it's okay for Democrat-run NGOs, run by all the right Democrats, of course, to control the property because they are better and smarter and more moral. But it is also immoral, racist, and classist for you to control your own property. Got it? Folks, it's going to be fascinating to see if this succeeds and succeeds on a wide scale and how much money Democrats are able to pilfer from it. Because even if it's run down, New York City property is some of the most valuable in the world. By the way, you're probably wondering, where does Sia Weaver live? Well, I can tell you where she grew up. Yeah. $1.7 million home owned by her parents, one of whom is, of course, a professor at Vanderbilt. Finally, if you need any more proof that Sia Weaver and Zohran Mamdani are going to be hands off with the big, you know, hedge funds that are very, very liberal, liberally run, embrace DEI values, but will instead go after middle class landlords based on their race. Well, she spells it out.
Blackstone is a bigger and worse target than, like, you know, Mrs. Smith, who owns 15 buildings. But Mrs. Smith, who owns 15 buildings, still, like, kind of sucks and has a lot more stability than renters. And there's more of them than there are of the Blackstones. And so it's just like this challenging dynamic that white middle-class homeowners are a huge problem for a renter justice movement.
Battleground America with Tara Servatius. Please subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Share with friends, family, and other free thinkers. Thanks for listening.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.